Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Masi sondele, masi sondele, pila no tolo, yelele.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illa Allah, wallahu akbar. You can say it once or 100 times or more, you'll feel at peace inside and it'll open every door. That's the
That's how I would like to start this beautiful Saturday morning on Everyday Muslim, live on WFM 91.7. This is where you invite your family, friends, foes, everyone to tune in because there is something for them. We are going through a lot. They say Nigeria is happening to all of us, right? And that's why I want to walk us through how to get through this. Bismillah, faith through hardship. Finding strength in tests and trials is what we're looking at today. And Imam Ridwan Jamiu is right, he's right here with us. He is joining virtually from his base. Imam Ridwan is, he's bagged his LLB in Common and Islamic Law from the University of Ilorin. He's attended the Nigerian Law School, Lagos State Campus, for his Barrister and Law Certificate. He obtained his Master's in Law degree, LLM, from Bari University in Kano, 2015. He obtained his PhD in Law at the Lagos State University, 2023. He attended Muhyiddin College of Arabic and Islamic Studies, Kulende in Ilorin, for his Thanawiya and Diploma in Islamic and Arabic Education. Imam is a married counselor. He consults on Islamic social finance and estate planning. He is a member of Nigerian Institute of Chartered Arbitrators. He was a presenter at the International Conference on Islamic Finance organized by the International Institute of Islamic Banking and Finance, IIBF, that was held sometime in 2019 in Bari University in Kano State. He was a resource person at the workshop organized by the Institute of Islamic Finance Professionals here in Nigeria, the Lagos, in Lagos State, back in 2017. He has more than 15 published books. To his credit, in Islamic Finance, he wrote Wealth Creation and Circulation, An Islamic Perspective. In Arabic language, he's published a textbook, Teach Yourself Arabic Within a Short Time. And this book has been with forward by professors of Arabic, like Professor Hosseini, University of Ilorin. He also has published several works for both adults and youth in English and Arabic. Some are adopted as textbooks in some schools. Likewise, in comparative religious studies, he has published several works, among which is Oh God, Which Is Your Religion, with a foreword by Professor Latunji of UITH Ilorin. He's a Hafiz. He's the current chief imam of Lekki Central Mosque in Lekki, Phase 1, Lagos. Imam, Assalamu Alaikum.
Walaikum Assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you this morning, sir?
Alhamdulillah. I hope you are all fine too.
Barakallahu feekum. Alhamdulillah. And the family?
Alhamdulillah.
Right, we're just going to dive right into it. And this is the reality of our time. So much happening left, right, center. It looks like we're being dealt blows all around. Let's begin with the big picture. From Islamic perspective, why are hardships an inevitable part of a believer's journey? And why does our faith teach that trials can actually be a sign of Allah's love and closeness?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As believers, we are expected to thank Allah always, because we are the best people in it. Whatever, no matter the condition we may be in ourselves on earth, so we are still the most beloved, who are the chosen. And the fact that Allah has guided us to Islam is a sign that He actually wants to see us within Jannah. He wants us to see, he wants to see us in there, in Jannah. So we thank Allah for this. Yeah. And the traumas of life, difficulties and challenges, one, Allah has told us in several places in the Quran that He has not promised us the same for passage in this world. Yes, the world is, we are meant to just pass here, because we are like travelers, we've not got to our destination. So Allah has not promised us a safe passage according to the Quran. Mm. He has promised us a safe destination if we can be committed to His instructions and be obedient to Him, where we have sincere faith in the in Him. He has promised us a safe destination. He has not promised us a safe passage here. So this is why challenges are part of life. Whether you are a believer or not, you are going to have your own portion of challenges of life. This is why even the most beloved of all people to Allah, the Anbiya, prophets of Allah, they face their own challenges. When you go to Surah Al-Anbiya, Quran chapter 21, so the chapter on prophets, Allah mentions a number of them. And he also tells how they were tried, tested by Allah. And also, sometimes Allah tells us because he wants us to flourish. There are some people, unless they are tested, the hidden potentials in them would not be brought to the fore. For example, I have a friend who was once down with a spiritual ailment that prevented him from completing his medical school. So during the period of trying to recover, he began to use this alternative medicine for what is basic medicine. Mm. So alhamdulillah, Allah restored his health, and now he's very to this alternative medicine that a lot of people go to him seeking his advantages and services from this. And later he was able to go back to the medical school, he completed it and became a doctor. Uh-huh. And probably he's working on his residency now. So if not for those potential the name would not flourish. Mm-hmm. So I do it with people like that. Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when Allah wanted to appoint him to be a prophet, he made a mistake. Just trying to, you know, broker peace between two people who are fighting, it led to one of them dying, you know, unintentionally. Because of that, he fled Egypt. He went to Midian where he knew no one. So Allah told us a story. He eventually went to marry there. He spent about a decade in Midian before he now came back. As he was coming back, that was when he received the call that he was, had been chosen as a prophet. But while he was in Midian, he became a shepherd. So he had been trained in how to manage animals. So he knew how to manage him and so he knew how to manage humans. And having encountered a different culture, different people from his own, so he knew how to tolerate the people and to understand the diversity of people. This helped him a lot in his political career and leadership of Banu Israel. So that is how Allah brings out, you know, the good things about people through difficulties. And also, Allah tests us in this world because he doesn't want this world to look like the hereafter. He has always told us, hereafter is better and is more lasting. So if nobody is challenging me, you don't have any problem, then why would the next life be better than this? Allah tests us so that we can sometimes hear, so that we can remember where we are going, where we are not going to suffer anymore. And sometimes Allah tests us, even with the beloved, it tests the beloved just to, you know, bring out to bring out the truth. Those who are truly devoted in name, those who truly you know, believe in him, and those who are not. So it's true test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguishes the truth from the false. He distinguishes truth from falsehood. True test. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah 2 Ali Imran chapter 3, verse 169. Allah says, "My father, Allah will never leave the believer remain the same condition as they are. So they are going to be tested. You can't remain the same condition. So this is why another surah, Allah says, Allah rohana yuftanuna fi kulli amin marratan aw marratayn. You do not see that in the real world they are tested either once or twice. So you marratan aw marratayn, which means in the year you are likely going to receive one test or two at least in the year, according to that chapter of the Quran. But this test, alhamdulillah, is not only through calamities and difficulties. Test, according to the understanding of the Quran, could even come through true posterity. So it comes through your life. Allah wants to see how you are going to behave yourself when you find yourself in prosperity, as he wants to see how you are going to behave when you find yourself in adversity. Both to Allah are tests and trials. So when it's mentioned, it doesn't really in plan, doesn't really mean calamities, adversities, or it can even come from prosperity. Prosperity. But in most cases, it is through calamity and difficulty. May Allah strengthen our iman. May Allah guide us. All right.
Imam. So, when you spoke about your friend who, you know, the medical school had, you know, say a bit of a setback, but it bounced back, subhanAllah, I just wonder how he felt spiritually during that time, how his faith, I wonder if you can share some insights. Because for many people, when they are faced with repeated struggles, it can actually shake their faith to the core and leave them spiritually exhausted. How can a Muslim stay rooted in Iman during these difficult times rather than drifting into doubt or despair, or, you know, the next thing will start running helter-skelter looking for what's not lost, subhanAllah. You know, that was a classic example that you chipped in, and subhanAllah, it would be nice to draw some strength. How did he actually stay firm on the path of the deen? How did he hold forth? How did he stay, you know, faithful, subhanAllah, and then Allah compensated him with, you know, the best of both fields, you know, prophetic medicine and the medical field. How did he do it faith-wise?
Alhamdulillah. One thing I know about the brother is he is someone who is always struggling for to promote Islam. Mm-hmm. He is always learning, and this is very important. Knowledge is very, very important to Islam. Knowledge to Islam is like fuel to your car. So without fuel, you can't use your car, no matter how beautiful your car is, no matter how rugged your car is, no matter how expensive the car may be, if it is not fueled, you can't use it. So fuel can be through the normal fuel, it can be any type of a fuel, but you have to fuel your car to work. Even your phone. So to get all the functions of your phone, you have to charge it. That's the fuel of your phone. The same thing as a believer, we are programmed like that of a car and your phone. You have to be fueled always. So a time comes when you are so spiritual low, you are very low. So sometimes you need to charge yourself so that you can be high again and work effectively. So the way to charge yourself and fuel yourself is through knowledge. This is why the first commandment in the Quran is Iqra, read. And this is why Quran is called Quran, which means recitation, something that is meant to be recited always. Because when you recite it always, especially you ponder over the meanings and you understand what you read, so it's going to constitute a source of fueling for you, constant fueling for you and light. And because of this knowledge of the Quran, this is why Jumu'ah has been made compulsory, especially for many Muslims, so that at least once in a week, you have to fuel yourself through knowledge by listening to the khutbah. Khutbah has been part of it, integral part of Jumu'ah, so that all many Muslims especially must learn something from the Quran and acquire some knowledge which can sustain you throughout that week before you come back again to acquire more. So without knowledge, you can't practice this faith. So with consistent learning, I believe, is one of the things that helped the brother. He was in the midst of those who were learning, and is used to listen to lectures. He himself used to give lectures. Even when he had his conditions, he still continued giving lectures. And you know, when you are giving lectures, it's like when you are teaching. When you are teaching, you are learning twice. What you already know, so you know it better when you are teaching others. So when you are teaching, the deen, definitely. So you are also... So when you are teaching the deen, you are also learning again, and you are refueling yourself. So it's one thing we need to do, consistent learning. And the second thing is that brother, as I knew about his condition, it helped him, because there was a day we traveled together and was narrating this to me. We traveled for about an hour and was telling me how, you know, he was passing through his challenges. So being in the company of the righteous, it also helps a lot. So as a believer, if you want to keep your faith, be in the company of the faithful. If you want to keep your faith, be in the company of the faithful. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, Quran chapter 9, verse 119, Allah says, "Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin." O you who believe, may Allah be in the company of those who are truthful. That is, they are true in their faith, they are true in their conduct, they are true in their worship, they are honest. So these truthful people, those who are truly committed to their deen, they should be the one you should be in their company. So when you have any calamity, being in their faith, in their company, we assist you materially, we assist you spiritually. So it's one of the things that this brother. The same thing, if you look at the companions of the prophets, many of them were tested. But because, you know, when they are tested, they have problems, challenges of life. You have some people coming to you, saying, talking to you, giving you Islamic advice, again, saying this and that. It reinforces your iman, and you become more committed to deen, and you have more hopeful. This is why, if someone is sick, for example, so you are highly recommended to go and fit the person. When you fit the person, you advise, you encourage, you want the morale of the person, so that he would not lose his faith, lose heart, lose the condition. So being in a company, in the company of religious, helps a lot when we are facing challenges of life. Another one is in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Quran chapter 2, verse 153, Allah says, "Ya ayyuhallazina amanu sta'inu bis-sabri was-salat. Inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin." So one thing that's interesting about this verse is that the same verse is also repeated in the same surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 45. Allah says, "Wa aminu bistainu bissabri wa salat." In that of 45, Allah says, "Wa stainu bissabri wa salat." Wa inna halak biyaratun illa ala al-khashirin. In that of 153, Allah says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ittaqullaha amin. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bisabri wa salah. Seek help through intense prayer. Ista'inu bisabri, with patience, through patience, wa salah, and prayer. Inna allaha ma'a sabirin. Allah is with those who, patiently persevere. Allah is with them. So there are three things here. Allah says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe," which means it's part of the faith that you should be patient. So Allah says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe," means you may be tested. But when you are so tested, what do you do? Allah says, "Seek help of Allah." True two things. One is prayer. The other one is patience. According to many scholars, each of these prayer, which is salat, and patience, and sabr. So each of them has two connotations or interpretations. This salat, ordinary salat in Arabic language means dua, supplication. So that's why you see in the verse of the Quran, Allah says, "Inna salata kasakanun lahum." Your salat for them is a source of comfort for them. That salat there means dua. That is, your dua for them is a source of comfort for them. So salat ordinarily means supplication. You call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has allowed that calamity or difficulty to take place in the first place. He's in the best position to remove it from you. So supplication, the other meaning of salat is salat as we know it. That's the formal salat as we observe as Muslims. So but this salat too, there is something interesting in the mention of salat here. So when Allah says, "Ista'inu bisabr," speak help through bisabr, which patience was bisabr was salat, with salat and sabr. So when Allah says salat here, it could not be the five daily prayers as known, because as believers, whether you are tested or not, you are going to offer those five daily prayers. So it means extra salat. So it means extra salat. So which means when you are in finding you find yourself in a calamity and adversity, Allah expects you to pray more. That is the supererogatory prayers. Allah expects you to do more. Allah expects you to talk to Him more in tahajjud. When it comes to the lowest heaven and sees Alim, when they suffering from, who does somebody wants me to forgive him? Somebody asks me to ask so that I can grant it? Is anyone making dua so that I can answer him? So Allah wants you to talk to Him during the tahajjud period. So you do extra salat. This is why during the Battle of Badri, so, the Muslims were not actually anticipating to meet the enemies. But when they got there, they went out light. They didn't go with much weapons. So it's led to a full-blown battle with the enemies. And even the other one, us, many of them used camels, and many of them actually trekked. So it led to a battle. So, and one of the companions, whatever, said there was a night during this period when everybody was asleep. It was the messenger of Allah alone who was standing, who was up, calling on Allah, who was doing tahajjud, calling on Allah fervently. So through tahajjud, when the others were sleeping. So he was praying for victory. And alhamdulillah, Allah granted him. So the Muslims were able to defeat their enemies despite their number. So they killed about 70 of their enemies, and they captured about 70 as captives, as war captives. So that's an example. The same thing during the Battle of Al-Ahzab. So one of the companions, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, said the cold was severe. The cold was severe. Mm-hmm. And the weather was very stormy and windy. And he looked around, he saw everyone. At a point, everybody was asleep. They folded the cloth on themselves. He looked around to know where the Prophet was, if he was safe. He found the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, praying, subhanAllah. So this was the Prophet. And there is another hadith where it is recorded that the Prophet, kana idha asibahu amrun fasi'a ila salah. whenever he was faced with some adversity, he used to rush to go and pray. He performs ablution and prays. That's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I remember when I performed my first Hajj. My first Hajj, that was 2002, about 23 years ago. So somebody brought a letterhead consisting a request for books from the University of Medina. So he didn't speak Arabic. So I led this group to the University of Medina, since I speak Arabic. So we were able to collect about 30 cartons of books. 30 cartons of books. So we took them back to our hotel. So we shared it. So I took 6 cartons. So others took, about 5. So we took 6 each. So we were told that since our luggage had already been weighed and we won't be able to carry those books. Hmm. So my friends began to share their own. They were gifting out some of their books, you know. They even left so many at the airport or Spanba. So I took my own with me, the 6 cartons. I took them. I managed to take them to the airport. When I got to the airport, it was a bit difficult for me. So what I did, I left my people where they were. I went to people where nobody knew me. I performed ablution and I prayed two rakat. I said, Allah, Allah, please. I want to take all these cartons of books to Nigeria. I want to enable me, assist me, facilitate it for me to take these books to Nigeria. So immediately I finished my prayer, I was infused with some humor. I looked up, I saw one Arab man who brought a cart. So I went to him, I told him, would you help me with these books to wear the other luggage in this week? So he took everything with me when I got there. So somebody spoke, he said, no, we'll not be allowed to take all these. I managed to speak some little words of Hausa, you know, because the person conducting it was an Hausa. I said, Quran, you know, most of what I have was Quran. He said, just allow him to take everything. Mm. That's how all my books were taken. Mm. I remember when we were airborne, where I sat, one of my friends sat at my back. He didn't know I was in front of him. He was now asking the person who sat next to him, said, how was he able to carry all those books? I was just silent. I was smiling. They didn't know the divine intervention I sought, through which Allah has enabled me to carry all the books. So I always remember it with happiness, and which also infuses me with some figure and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember when I was in my secondary school, we were making some contributions at work. So then I can't even remember how much it was. So if somebody was to be picked at random, we would be the next person to collect the pool of connections that week. Mm. So I went out before that selection was done. So I went to at the back of my classroom, I was saying, Allah, la ilaha illa huwa, al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. I was just reciting Ayatul Kursi. My intention was, oh Allah, let my name be the one to be put for this ajab, because I needed the money. So as I entered, somebody was asked, where is Edwan? Where is Edwan? Ah, you are the one who are going to, oh, subhanAllah. So I was so happy. So that's dua. So we should always call on Allah Azza wa Jalla. So we should always do extra prayers to Allah whenever we are facing or we are faced with the difficulties, especially our tahajjud. So as Allah says, wasta'inu bisabri wa salat. I said it's not the ordinary prayers we observe, because whether you are faced with challenges of life or not, you are going to observe those ones. But Allah wants you to do extra. Mm-hmm. So then sabru has two meanings. The first meaning of sabru is patience, as we know it in Arabic language. So you have to be patient. Anything in life. So you just have to be patient. Even if you are sick, for example, and you visit a physician and you are given some drugs, so you do this one, you take one, this one, take it, one in the morning, this one, one in the morning, one in the evening. So this one, two in the morning, two in the afternoon, two in the evening, for example. So you still need some time within which you are going to get to work. If you think, because of my condition, please, let me combine all my drugs and take everything as a whole. You may die in the course of doing that out of patience is very important. Just be reassured that you are going to recover from it, because nothing in life is permanent except change. The only thing that is permanent in life is change. So no matter how long the day is, the night will fall. And no matter how long the night is, the day will break. So no matter whatever you find yourself, you won't remain in that position forever. So you are going to change. That is the condition. The condition will change. So just have hope in Allah. So that patience is very important. Endurance. Then the other meaning of a sabr is fasting. That's why Ramadan is known as Shahru al-Sabr, the month of sabr, of patience. So that is fasting. So you can fast when you are faced with difficulties. Oh Allah, let me fast for the number of days. Even if you don't make a vow, vow is discouraged. So, but when you make it, you have to fulfill it. So you can say, Allah, if I'm able to get a good job, so having attended this interview, I'm going to do this for you. No, that is discouraged. What you should do is go and fast if you want to fast, for example. So with the intention that I want to get closer to Allah through my fasting, and I'm asking Allah through it also to grant me success in this interview or to grant me a breakthrough in the particular endeavor you are in, for example. So this is you can use fasting to seek something from Allah. So Allah says, wasta'inu bisabri wa salah. Seek help through jinns and salah. Inna Allahu ma'as sabirin. So Allah is with those who are patient. So if you want to be able to keep calm and you don't get lost when you are faced with difficulties or you are being tried and challenged by Allah, one is your knowledge is very important. You should be consistently learning. So the one is you have to be in the company of the righteous people. The third one is this antidote Allah has given us in Quran. 2 Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 45 and 153, patience and salat. You need to apply it whenever you are faced with such a condition. And the next one is, when you are faced with a condition with trial, have you spoken to anyone? You need to talk to somebody. You don't keep things to yourself. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I remember during the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So when the Mecca people prevented him from entering Mecca and his companions, so the companions were bent to, they were inclined towards, fighting in order to force themselves to enter Mecca. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, everything is not achieved through aggression, through fights or whatever. So if there is a room for peace, please, let's go for it. So, but the Prophet now told them, this is where we are going to slaughter all our animals. We did not even enter, close to Mecca. They were the suburb of Mecca. They did not enter. Ah, these people, they had this audacity to prevent us from entering Mecca. Who are they? Let's finish it up. The Prophet said, no. This is where we are going to shave our heads. This is where we are going to slaughter our animals. They were not happy. So the Prophet instructed them, they did not listen. Because they were expecting, maybe Allah will reveal a verse to the people that will command him to definitely go to Mecca, and even if it will lead to a fight. But nothing of such came. The Prophet entered his tent where one of his wives, Umm Salama, was. He said, Umm Salama, don't you see? I instructed this people, they didn't do anything for my instruction. Umm Salama said, okay, so what do you want them to do? I said, of course, just go out, Ya Rasulallah. Go out, call your Baba, slaughter your animal. We will see, they will do exactly what you are doing. The Prophet said, you are right. So he got invigorated, he came out, and he called his Baba, and he slaughtered his animal. When people saw him, there is no change to this matter anymore. This is what happened. So everybody began shaking their heads and also slaughtering their animals. So the Prophet himself was faced with this, and I will command my companions, they would not listen to me. It was a tough something for him. So he had to talk to one of his wives. So always speak up. Speak out. Talk to somebody. So sometimes when you talk in person, if your problem is not soft, at least it will be aft. So it will be either soft or aft. So the challenges you are facing, please talk to somebody is very important. After talking to Allah, talk to people as well. May Allah Azza wa Jalla keep us firm, and may Allah protect our iman.
Ameen, Ya Rab, Subhanallah. You know, when you shared your personal stories, that was really warm. That's very kind of you to have shared that. But Imam, Subhanallah, you spoke to Allah and He responded. Surely there are things that you have sent some things forward. There's a where did you leave Allah? It's actually what this is. It's where your connection with Allah, how you have related with Allah over time. I think that's what it's primary here. And I would actually love for you to share some things with us. So, because in times of deep hardship, some of us lose it completely. We get completely drained emotionally and spiritually distant. We start to lose touch because we are thinking, how come all this is happening to me? Is it not only me? Why can't I come? You know, why am I the only one facing all of this? What are some of those gentle, simple forms of remembrance or devotion that can help a struggling believer stay connected to Allah? Because when you're in trial mode, the hardest thing is to stay connected to Allah. I mean, there are times words fail you. You can't even connect, you know, or string the words of dua to talk to Allah. How can you get yourself into that space where when that trial hits the hardest, the next thing is to humble yourself and get on your knees and talk to Allah? What are those simple things, acts of worship that we can engage in to, you know, stay connected? Because that connection is what is key, and that's what you tapped into in those times of trials for you.
Okay. No, Allah increase us in iman and guide us aright. So, as we know that test is part of life, some of the things we need to do is, one, Allah loves to see your mind with Him. He loves to see your mind with Him. So no matter, even if you are a sinner, even if you know you have not presented so much before Allah to have granted your dua, the fact that you talk to Him, Allah appreciates it so much. The fact that you don't ascribe partners with Him, just make sure that whenever you are faced with any challenges, your mind is still with your Lord, Azza wa Jal. Your mind is still with Him. So you are not, because He wants to see the utterances of your mind when you have been tested, and He wants to see the utterances of your tongue. What do you think about me because I test you? What do you say about me because tested? Allah doesn't want you whine. He wants you to still appreciate Him. Allah doesn't want you to complain. So Allah wants you to find solutions to your problems. Allah wants you to talk to Him. But when you begin to say, why me? Why am I the only one? Or say it is too much. A believer who understands his religion will know that so whatever you are faced in life is not too much. Because whatever you face, one, you won't be the first, and yours will be the last. And no matter what you face in life, yours can never be the worst. The situation can never be the worst, whatever you may face in life. So, and the fact that you remember, whenever you are facing challenges do not, you don't suffer challenges in vain. In the way of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is why the Prophet said, Adaban li amri mu'min. The affair of a believer is wonderful. Inna amrahu kullu lahu khayr. Everything is always good for him. He said, how come ya Rasulullah? So when you see that you are faced with adversity, you are faced to express prosperity. So the Prophet said, Inna sawwahu farah. When something good happens to a believer, what does he do? Shakara. He praises Allah, he thanks Allah, he's thankful, but I'm not khayr Allah, and all is good for him. Because he's going to get more, and he's going to sustain what Allah has given me already. Because one of the ways to sustain your present condition, good things Allah has given you, just one, make sure you only thank Allah for them. And also don't use them to offend Allah. Don't use them to offend Allah, and always thank Allah for them. You will sustain those things, and you will get more. And when I saw what you were, if a calamity to a believer, what does he do? Sober up, his patience. Is that not another worship? Allah wants to worship him, sometimes through sabr, sometimes through shukr. So Sabr is fortitude, and shukr is gratitude. So as long as these are the things happening to us, because life is just hills and valleys. So you say that day and night, Allah has created everything in peace. You see that happiness or sadness, day and night, man or woman, this world or the next. That's how Allah has created everything. Yeah. But for a believer, you find yourself in prosperity. Allah expects thankfulness. You expect gratitude. When you find yourself in adversity, Allah expects patience and fortitude. So this is why when you read the Quran, you often come across in the biblical ayat, the kulli sabarin shakur. Sabarin shakur. The Quran, where Allah combines sabru and shukru together. So as a believer, you don't lose anything. You don't lose. Because in your shukru, you are worshipping Allah. In your sabru, it's another worship. It has its own rewards. So do you think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will suffer in vain? Being the best in the sight of Allah, he lost many of his children when he was alive. Only one survived him, who also passed away 6 months after his demise. So he was faced with anger, he was faced with a loss of so many things and a lot of the problems from his enemies. So, and he's the best person in the sight of Allah. Allah used this to elevate him. He was elevated through these challenges. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are some people who will be walking on earth and there is no sin on them because their challenges are wiped off their sins. Any calamity a believer faces wipes off some part of your sin. Even just a stink of a prick of tongue. So if you're a prick from a tongue, for example, so you will still get reward for that. It wipes away some of your sins. So anytime you are faced with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited somebody who had the malaria one day, fever, he said, ah, how are you feeling? Oh, is this a Musahi? He said, ah, I'm not feeling well, though. This is a malaria. No, it says it's FIFA. La barakallahu fi, may Allah not bless it. The Prophet said, no, be patient, O Musahib. You know, it takes away some of your sins. So it takes away some of your sins. There is no way we face with any challenges. So even just stomach ache, it wipes away some of your sins. Mm-hmm. So we don't lose as believers. We are always winners. As long as you are a believer, you are a winner. So that's very important for us to know. Another thing is, when you are faced with challenges, if it is possible, look for somebody who faces a similar challenge or something worse than yours. Try to see how you can solve their problems. Bring good comment. Your own problems will be solved. Look at Prophet Musa, alayhi salam. When he fled, he left Egypt. He came to Madian. He didn't know anybody. He was hungry, he was tired. He didn't know anybody. He was nobody to for assistance. So he looked afar. He saw two ladies who were standing aloof. So he wondered, why are they not watching the animals? And he saw some other men who were watching the animals. He moved closer to them. He said, why are you not watching your animals? They said, we are women. So that's out of modesty and shyness. They could not join men who were there, strong men. So he said, we can't water our animals until these men leave. So we move there and do it. And our father is an aged man, so he cannot help. And we are only girls, he gave birth to. Prophet Musa collected their herd of cattle, and he watered them. So they were so happy. They went home. They got home earlier than usual. So their father asked, why? What happened to them? They now told him what had happened. So I want to see that man. Go and bring him. So I need to see him. So Prophet Musa, one of the two girls came. So told him that my father wants to reward you for what you have done for us today. And since that he wanted to meet somebody, just wanted anybody he could talk to. So he had to go. So we went there and the narrator what had happened. Where I was going is when Prophet Musa had helped these ladies, he went back to where he had sat and he said, Rabbi, inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir, O Allah, whatever good thing you have seen down to me today, this is the time I need it, O Allah. This is the time I need it. So I'm shortly after saying this dua, that is when one of these two ladies emerged. So we appeared and fighting him to come to go and see his father. So what do I want to bring out from this? When we are facing, he was just imagine the condition he would have found himself. A traveler. So he running away from the enemies. He was in fear, he was hungry, he has been with the same clothes for a number of days. Yes, he had an opportunity to help. He didn't say, He was not just praying the alone. He prayed. So that's what he offers to someone, you know, assisted his prayer to move quickly. So your helping others and your prayer is like a bird with two good wings. So when you do two wings, you are able to fly easily, unlike a bird that doesn't have the wings to fly. So that is when you are assisting others. Always focus on people. Any time you are faced with any challenges, try to see how you can help people. There is something I've never told anybody. When my wife saw my wife down, so whenever it is time for them to be delivered, when the time is approaching, so one of the things I do on the day when they are, when they have appointments or come to the hospital for delivery, one of the things I do is I try as much as possible to send out some money to people I know really needed it. So I try to do some charity that nobody would know about. So the intention that as I try to solve this problem, I remove the difficulty, please, this hardship, remove it from my wife, from me. This service being said with the free, and it has always helped me.
MashaAllah.
So even when I wanted to get admission for a particular purpose, I saw that a lot of people have been given admission for it. I found myself, my own, very difficult. What I did was, my reality is that I was not married then. So my reality is, especially the old people amongst my people, I sent somebody to go and give them money, cash. It wasn't more than 2 days when I got my own admission for that particular purpose. Try to see how we can help anyone who can.
Wet the ground with a lot of good deeds. Wet the ground and Allah will open the doors for you,
mashallah.
I mean, jazakumullah khair. And we are almost out of time, subhanAllah. And the tons of questions that I have for you, subhanAllah, we need to get a part two, Imam. But I'm going to call you offline, inshallah, to secure another date for part two of this, subhanAllah. We can't finish, and this is the reality of our times. A lot of us are struggling. And earlier when you spoke, you said something about speaking out. You know, speak up. If you're going through something, speak up. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If you speak to the wrong circle, inna lillah. Because from your speaking up, you actually are going to get judged. They will gossip about you. They will isolate you. And how can our Muslim communities become a more compassionate space, a source of healing rather than hurt for those going through these trials? Because indeed, it's actually a problem shared is half solved. But when you speak to the wrong person, it sends you, into more despair, subhanAllah.
Yes, this is very important. We should be careful about the people we talk to. For example, a woman who is having challenges in her marriage. So if one is not careful, you confine in a friend who is also having similar problems, or who is also has a failed marriage. So being the first does not mean that the marriage as one is a failure. The marriage has failed, not the individual. So because a woman to be the first, for example, does not mean that she's a bad woman. It may mean that she has not found the right person. So you talk to a friend, sometimes the advice they give, bad advice. So I will tell you, women, if people will talk to about your husband, about your marriages, I've been marriage counselors. So, even the Quran says, when you see that there's a misunderstanding between a man and a woman, and they have found it difficult to resolve it between each other, then look for Hakama min ahlihi wa Hakama min ahliha. A learned, righteous, a wise person, someone who is mature and is decent enough to handle the matter. Just one person from his family, one person from our family. Only two people to teach. But the Quran describes this person to be Hakaman min Ahlihi wa Hakaman. Not just anybody. So about marriage, you don't just talk to anybody about your marriage. Even for you to talk to your mom, you have to be careful too. Because some people who are imam, they became imam by default. There is no other person we can appoint. So you are the local champion, you should be the one to lead. Not that the person is actually qualified to lead as imam. Hmm. It's not the one you can tell you come, but you can convert your imams in most cases. Talk to them because you believe they are the custodians of knowledge. They should be able to guide you. They are the representatives of the prophets. They should be able to guide you. So all you look for a professional in this regard, a counselor, so who can direct your affairs to do this.
Jazakumullah khairan, Imam.
Please do that. So the same thing for if you look at Salam said, if you have a bad dream, don't tell anybody.
Mm.
If you have a good dream, tell somebody, but it must be somebody you know.
Mm.
Somebody you love. So it's not just anybody, it's someone that is upright. In another one, it says, La taqusduha illa ila alumin aw nasihin. You must not tell your dreams, please, is very upright. So, upright person, knowledgeable person, that's the only thing we can tell about our dreams. If that is for dreams, what about life affairs that are, you know, pulling us down and have been very challenging to us? So we should be careful about the people who we talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And our masjid, this is one of the most masjid instruments to play.
Mm-hmm.
So the masjid should be a place where you can go for spiritual rejuvenation. A place where you can go, you can find someone, you know, you can find out the business of the masjid should provide some spiritual security and support for you whenever you are faced with some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And that the masjid will serve that purpose only if the imams are appointed according to the criteria the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. He says, "Ya ummul qawm aqra'uhum li kitab Allah." So the person who's to be appointed as an imam should be the most learned in the book of Allah. If you have a number of people who are qualified, then you look for those who are most learned in the Sunnah. After considering the Quran, you look at Sunnah. So after Sunnah, you look for other considerations now come, like age, like the first person to get to that locality or to be hijra, and to the first to become a Muslim, all that things will not be considered. But knowledge of Quran and the Hadith should be the first criteria. I mean, the first thing to be considered in such a person. But unfortunately, many of our masajid, so this criteria were not considered in appointing the imam. That's why they are not serving the purposes. So we need to encourage people to let them go. But these are criteria to appoint an imam so that the masajid could be a spiritual, refuge. For people who are having problems, they should be able to talk to their imams and religious teachers, and they'll be properly guided. May Allah increase us in guidance.
Ameen, Ya Rab. Jazakumullah khairan, Imam. We'll be in touch with you right about now. Once I drop off, I'm going to call you because we need to get, a second, an extension of this topic. It is germane. It's what is going on. It's what a lot of people need. There's a lot of requests not to end it, but time is not our friend. We're out of time here. So inshallah ta'ala, I hope I have your commitment that we can get part two of this, Imam.
Inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah accept this from you as ibadah and make it weigh heavy on your scale of good deeds. Jazakumullah khairan. And to all of our audience, I sincerely apologize. I was so engrossed, I didn't even remember to open the phone lines. Inshallah ta'ala, let's do this same time next week when we bring you another bit of package of Everyday Muslim. Until then, stay blessed. Masalam.
Good life, good life. Allah, I wanna thank you for the good life.